Happy Thanksgiving week, everyone. Yay. Nah. This is episode 76 of the weekly wind down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacy, super excited about Thanksgiving.
And I'm Stacy, the political princess.
And we have quite a few topics to talk about tonight. Don't worry, we are going to talk about how much we love Thanksgiving and how excited we are that this holiday has once again reared its ugly fucking head. But
I mean, I like the food.
Do you? Because it's nothing that fucking special. Like, I eat turkey like twice a week.
Yeah, I guess. One of my friends posted on Facebook today an unpopular opinion, and it just said stuffing is trash.
And wow. I think stuffing may be my favorite food at Thanksgiving.
I like stuffing, so I'm really excited to go back and read
this. Unless it's like real dry, like I can't do the whole real dry stuffing thing. I do like to mix my stuffing with my mashed potatoes. That is like my favorite part of Thanksgiving. The turkey I don't really care about, but
yeah, me too.
Yeah,
I don't like the whole stuffing inside the carcass.
And I don't understand what the whole thing about cramp. We'll save it for the Thanksgiving. Okay. So let's start with what we're drinking. I am drinking something called Krios. It's from Argentina, but it's also from Napa. So I'm assuming that it's bottled in Napa and distributed that way. It says it goes well with barbecue chicken, grilled sausage, or smoked cheeses.
Interesting.
Which is quite the buffet. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's imported by Folio into the Michael Mondavi family. So it comes from Argentina over there. It's a red blend. It's a 2015. It's actually really good. I was kind of like, ugh, I don't know, because it was a screw off cat, but it's really good. So I'm still working my way through my my big box of wine that I purchased with my coupon. So
I ordered from Shutterfly, like my holiday cards. And they sent me $100 to like wines.com.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you only get $100 off if you buy like the 18 bottle case, and it has to be over like $150, blah, 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 blah. So like you still spend $100.
So. That's the coupon I'm talking about. But like my wife pointed out, I spend $100 on wine anyway. I just don't have to go to the store for it. And I haven't had to go for two months. Yeah. So I just bought it all at once. And that's why I got more expensive wines than I normally would get, because I felt like I got them half off. So.
So you got twice as much wine.
Right. I got 18 bottles for like $160, I think, when it would have been $260.
Right. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just drinking Ava Grace, 2015 Merlot, and it was on sale at my local grocery store. So I picked it up because I remember Stacy did an Ava Grace, rosé and said it was good. So, I actually really like it. It's really good. I would buy it again.
No Hello Kitty wine this time?
No. That Hello Kitty wine was not, it wasn't the best. I don't like Pinot Grigio. But it certainly wasn't the worst wine I've ever had.
Well, I mean, that's a pretty low fucking bar right there.
Oh, like, yeah. I mean, you bring up a good point. I am having this Chronic Cellars Pink Petal Rosé. Super freaking cute. The label, you guys should go look at it. It's from Paso. It's got like a skeleton riding a pink bicycle with flowers in her hair, and she's got a little skeleton dog in the basket. It's called Pink Petals. Adorable. And it's good.
I like can't handle what suckers we are for advertising. Like it, I consider us all to be like relatively intelligent, like thoughtful women, and we're always like, that model is so cute.
I know. It's so true. It's
a powerful thing, guys. Yeah. It really is. This is good though. And a lot of times rosés have screw tops. Not this one.
Well, the rosé you drink has screw tops.
Oh, the Yes Way rosé from Target? Yeah. Those have screw tops.
All right. So let's just jump headfirst into it. We have quite a few topics tonight. We're going to start with Facebook being in hot water again. So Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook's chief executive officer, and Sheryl Sandberg, the company's chief operating officer, believe Facebook's negative image is a public relations problem that stems from a bungled press strategy and sensational media coverage, not a structural or philosophical shortcoming that requires a wholesale course correction. Is that what you two think? Like, you don't see anything that's gone wrong with how Facebook operates in the state of our country now. Like, I feel like they're taking the easy way out on this, where right. they're much more culpable in this situation of the super right-wing influence on Facebook and how it's deranged people.
I mean, the fact that there are people in other countries whose job it is to just troll people and have, like, fake accounts and push their, like, propaganda on Facebook should be enough evidence that, like, there's some kind of chink in the chain.
Well, and I'm not even saying that's necessarily Facebook's fault, but for it's them to be like, I don't know. What are we supposed to do?
I know they've made a lot of changes to the formatting and stuff of things, where you're seeing a lot less, because for a while there it was really bad, where it was just ads and you know, videos that play automatically, stories and stuff that you're like, I didn't ask to see this thing, and where is this coming from? And so I will say, I think I've noticed a big change in the, like, user interface as far as, like, the things that you see, which I think is a great change. But clearly you were doing something wrong if you had to make that change in the first place. So to sort of not admit culpability in any of this is, like, kind of asinine.
What do you think, Stace?
The article I read to research for this was talking about how they did the automatic responses to videos. So that's what I researched. Mm-hmm. I kind of felt like it was like, okay, so basically Facebook put out a thing for like a day, and it was automatic responses to videos that played automatically or whatever. And you could just click one of those responses. And the first one it came up on was a shooting. Mm-hmm. And some of the responses were, sending prayers, thoughts are with you, hearts, the little hands emoji, hands together praying emoji. Mm-hmm. And so people immediately responded to Facebook and said, what the hell is wrong with you? This should not be an automated response thing.
Right.
Which I understand, but at the same time, I feel like that was just a bad example. Because
yeah.
I feel like there are videos where funny laughing faces or that's funny or LOL, whatever, could be, you know, sure, whatever, it's used, it's fine.
The optics were bad.
That was just a really bad example. And there were other examples too of sad videos where they, I don't know how they pulled keywords to give people suggestions of what they should respond to. You know, it was another sad video and it was, the responses didn't have anything to do with it. But people need to understand that it's got to be automated, right? Like, it's got to pick up keywords in the article and show you responses that it thinks would be appropriate for that article. So if it came up with something weird, it was probably a weird article, you know, that mentioned a couple of different strange things and the keywords it picked up were weird. So people coming down so hard on Facebook for doing this, I think is kind of silly.
Right.
I think it's just one of those useful, it's like predictive text, you know, like it's just one of those things that they're trying to make things easier for people. It wasn't, yeah. I don't think it was that serious. That's my opinion.
Here's my like take on it. And it's not a popular one. I've been listening to coverage on this. Like it was on the Daily, the New York Times podcast. And, you know, I've read a few articles and I think Facebook is, like, they need to just get to the point where they admit this got so big, we don't know how. I mean, you're talking about 30% of the population of the world uses Facebook, and it's like almost 90% of America. Mm-hmm. And there's no possible way to actually productively and accurately and fairly supervise everything that goes on. I 100% agree to that. And I actually don't like the take where the government now, and here's where my like conservative viewpoints will start to seep in, because this is kind of like a fiscal matter to me, for the government now to be saying, well, we're going to start regulating Facebook. I think that's a bad idea. I think whenever the government starts to get involved in things like censorship, we are heading down a road that we do not want to head down. So I don't want to see the government come in and break up Facebook, no more than I wanted to see it come in and break up Google or Apple or whatever. I understand that, yes, Facebook technically has, well, they don't even have a monopoly on social media. Like, people are it's free. People are welcome to start new social media. I mean, you've seen it with Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr. Like, yeah, they don't have, I think that this whole, like, going after its antitrust avenue is bad, because I think you're starting then to infringe on censorship. I think as much as Facebook needs to start being legit and saying, this got way out of control, we peeked into, like, the darkest depths of people's souls, and holy shit, people are fucked up. I think people need to start taking personal responsibility for the things that they believe, share and talk about on Facebook. Like, there's only so much responsibility Facebook can take. Like, yes, does the KKK exist, and do they perpetuate racism? For sure. But at some point, those KKK members need to take personal responsibility and decide, I chose to participate in this kind of behavior, and that makes me icky. So, like, I think it's kind of the same thing.
An asshole.
Right.
Not Facebook.
Right.
But Facebook, it's okay for them to say, we didn't know there were so many assholes out there.
Right.
Whoops.
Well, I think here's where I think they are responsible. And I think that they are trying to fix it. But because this was a new thing, like, social media wasn't around 20 years ago, it's going to have some growing pains, and it's going to need some time to kind of figure out what to do. Here's where I think they are culpable. Allowing actual fake news to be spread. Yes. But then you run into a First Amendment right where if someone's sharing their opinion, it doesn't make it fake news. It just makes them an asshole. So, but I think we're seeing this whole kind of wave of people creating websites that are made to look like actual news outlets, so that when, people click on them, it looks like you're actually logging on to, like, CNN, but it's really like CNM or whatever. And they're getting all this fake news, and so they think it's legitimate. Like, we just have a lot of really dumb consumers.
They don't even have to look like that good of fakes, because it literally can be like rightwingnutjob.com. Like,
well, as soon as it aligns with your thoughts, you're immediately like, this is legit.
Yeah.
So I think, yes, Facebook is culpable to an extent. I think they're being shady as shit, and they're trying to cover things up. And they did know that there was interference going on with Russia, and they've totally tried to hide it because they went, oh, fuck. Like, and I understand the whole concept of them not wanting to see, like, they're favoring the left, because the right is who's actually in control of the government, right? Like, I get the political mindset of it, not wanting to step on anyone's toes. Mm-hmm. But we can't push the blame on Facebook for everything. It's like the whole participation trophy thing. At some point, you have to take a look in the mirror and be like, I kind of suck. Or my grandma kind of sucks. Like, she's legit racist. Like, those are the kinds of things we have to be honest about. Right. Well, it brought out the worst in people. Faux show. But it's not Facebook's fault that, you know, your grandma's a racist.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Agreed.
Okay. So we are going to actually move on to Ivanka. Oh, Ivanka.
She didn't know.
She didn't know. She didn't know that you
unclear.
That you couldn't use your personal email to send official government documents. If only someone had mentioned that once or twice in the 2016 election, or maybe held 2 years worth of hearings over it. Maybe she would have known.
Well, is it perhaps because her job title is about as unclear as the policy on using?
She's senior advisor to the president.
Right, but that's
assistant
to the regional manager. Yeah. So she was really unclear. I know. If only there had been some discussion about emails.
Anything. Whether or not it was appropriate. Maybe they could have made up a chant, like, lock her up. I don't know. I'm spitballing here, but
great one.
I mean,
which is funny because she said most of the emails only really had, you know, to do with her kid's schedule.
Like they had to do with a wedding?
Or like when is Scandal on?
That's interesting.
Yeah, secrets like that.
That's interesting. Or when should we get dessert?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
But all the nation's secrets.
I just wish they do their crimes in secret like every other administration has done in the past.
You know what pisses me off about everything is like his real like diehard supporters, they are not going to care.
Oh, they don't care about emails anymore.
They don't care. They're still mad about Hillary's emails, but they won't give a shit about Ivanka's.
Well, and here's the thing. I feel the same way about Ivanka's emails that I did about Hillary's. Like, if they're using a private email account, if they're sending them to a government account, that government account's automatically logging the emails. It's archiving them. So it's already in the record. So I didn't care about Hillary's emails any more than I actually care about Ivanka's emails. But the hypocrisy is just amazing. Exactly.
I would like to point out that Hillary was not using, and I'm sure Ivanka is not like a freaking Hotmail account.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a personal email account she was using.
She doesn't use Yahoo?
Email server.
She doesn't use Yahoo? I picture Ivanka as a Yahoo. Like, daddy's hot blonde at yahoo.com.
Hillary's was like a grandma, like an SBC Global. Is just ask
Comcast.net. AOL.com.
Yeah. Oh, that's
it's
good.
Just so good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't actually give a shit what she I really don't. But I just love seeing them squirm a little bit. That's the part I'm enjoying.
Well, and it's funny because you know he's not gonna comment on this.
Why wouldn't he? He doesn't give a shit.
Daddy's little princess. What? You know what? And you know what's the sad thing? No one gives a shit about Tiffany's emails.
Who's Tiffany? It's like the lost Kardashian.
I know.
Tiffany Trump's one of the Trumps.
Oh, I'm like.
Like Ivanka, and then Don Jr.
Eric.
And Eric.
And then Tiffany. Yeah.
And then Tiffany.
And then Baron.
Oh my God, how sad. You even know there was another one.
And then Baron, yeah.
Yeah.
Tiffany is the like.
Whoops.
Oh, is she not pretty?
No, she's pretty.
She's pretty. What I don't know how.
It was just like the middle wife. So, you know, the middle wives never get as much attention as like the first wife or the third wife.
Isn't her mom, oh my gosh, what's her mom's name? Marla Maples.
Yeah.
So that was like a pretty famous relationship, and Marla Maples was an actress and stuff. And it's so funny, but then Tiffany's just like, not important.
That's real sad.
Hey, as far as I'm concerned, Tiffany's the lucky one in that whole family because she's just like.
I watched an interview that Marla Maples did one time about the whole thing, and she was very like, you can tell she wasn't going to say anything negative about him because he's the father of her daughter and stuff, and was like, oh, he was a very good father or whatever. But you can tell she's just like, I raised that girl. She's a good kid. She went to college and she didn't go anywhere. She did. She went to UPenn.
Of course she did. Why wouldn't she go to an Ivy League school? I mean, she's clearly got the talent and the smarts for it.
Oh, okay. And she went to Georgetown Law Center.
My question is, does anyone actually take away the whole like fucking presidency? Even when Donald Trump was just like a reality star, does anyone actually think he was a good dad?
Oh, there's no way.
Right. Like,
there's no way he was even around.
I think she's actually prettier than Ivanka.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, her mom's prettier, so.
Her mom's beautiful.
I mean, thank God you don't look like Eric Trump. Looks like he got dropped out of an ugly tree and hit every branch on the way down when he was a small baby.
A little baby.
We're going to hell. We're so going
for
to
what
hell.
Insulting Eric Trump? I'm pretty sure we're on a watch list, but I'm not going to hell.
I knew we were on that before we started talking about Eric Trump. So he seriously posts some just fucking disgusting stuff.
You got to show his teeth.
Okay, like at what age is it okay to say somebody's kid is ugly and not feel bad about it?
When they're over 18.
Okay.
Oh, really? I mean, I would never tell somebody their kid was ugly, but some kids are just not that cute.
I think, like Baron Trump's off limits.
to say it out loud, like, what's the cutoff where you're like,
yeah, oh. I think Baron is probably off limits. Yeah. He's still pretty young. But he also doesn't have the kind of public persona that Eric Trump does. And he acts like a dick. Like an absolute dick.
Like, dude, fix your teeth, bro. Okay.
Fix your fucking politics and your ways of thinking and everything you post on Twitter with your, like, vile racism and misogyny and stuff.
Well, that, I mean, we only have an hour. That's not going to happen today.
Right. And you disagree, then, that how much money Ivanka Trump has made in the last, like, couple years since her dad's been president is maybe a bigger issue than the emails? Can right. we agree the emoluments clause is probably a
right.
yeah.
bigger
right.
issue than, okay, all right.
We only have an hour.
Yeah. Okay, so Ohio legislator is considering a total abortion ban. And what this is, it's called the Heartbeat Bill. And it bans abortion at the point that a fetal heartbeat can be detected. And it's HB, it's House Bill 565. It was introduced in March, and it would allow criminal charges against both doctors and pregnant women seeking abortions. It would characterize an unborn human as a person under Ohio's criminal code, meaning that abortions can be punishable by life in prison or even the death penalty. So they're trying to move it to be to murder. And they're not even willing to make exceptions for rape, incest, or danger to the woman's life. So even if the woman, even if the woman could potentially die in childbirth or extenuating circumstances where the pregnancy alone would kill them, if she seeks an abortion, she could be put to death over it.
How far are we going to take this? Then is a miscarriage like involuntary manslaughter?
Well, that's one
like,
of the things that they talked about is miscarriages yeah. then when if it's under like odd circumstances, like did she intentionally cause a miscarriage? Did she drink? Did she do drugs? Like all of these things that could potentially cause a miscarriage. Could she then be sent to prison or be put on death row?
Disgusting Ohio. Get it together.
Yeah, I have so many yes. feelings about this. Right? First of all, why, you know, the pro-birth people are so all about, what about the father's rights? Why isn't the man mentioned anywhere mm-hmm. in here, first of all? Like, secondly, if you're going to start characterizing then a fetus as a person, then I hope that you can then start calling them for tax write-offs. And like, there's a lot right. of things that go along.
Do they
along.
Need their own insurance before they're born? Like, how does that work?
Right. Like, there's a lot of implications to actually being a person. Like, do you get their social security number then before they're born? Are yeah. you allowed to start collecting food stamps for them then before okay, they're
what
born?
What about like, insurance? I mean, what about a life insurance policy? I mean, it's just...
Right.
It's asinine.
Well, and how many women then are you going to throw, are you willing to throw in jail? And what about doctors who have sworn an oath to do no harm if the woman's life's in danger? Are you going to, what if the husband says, no, save my wife. We have five other kids. Are you just going to let that mother
they
die? Because then
kids
you can,
that are already born.
I'm just saying like, does this stop?
Clearly. Yeah.
Where does this stop? Get it to, and Stacey's exactly right. Get it together, Ohio. What is wrong with you?
That's disgusting.
It just makes my stomach upset to think about it. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I just read this story today about this lady that when she was younger, she was a teenager, her brother was raping her and she had a baby. And while she was there, she begged the doctor to tie her tubes. And the doctor was like, you're 16. Like, I can't do that. You know, like... you might want kids someday. Like, I know this was an accident and she didn't want to tell him what was going on at home. And so it kept happening. And I was just like, Jesus, this is why abortion should be available.
Right. And then how do you handle like ectopic pregnancies and things where you have to go in and do a DNC because it's not a viable pregnancy?
Yeah. Where does that fall?
Right.
Well, it falls with the mother and doctor ending up in jail. That's where it falls.
You know how many people are going to die unnecessarily if something like that were to happen? And you're back to like back alley, like coat hanger abortions.
Well, it just goes back to the whole, there's too many extenuating circumstances that could happen, that could possibly happen, that you can't even begin to understand that you cannot make this illegal without doing harm to women. Like, well, you just can't.
Don't get that this is going to be obviously backed by conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
And traditional Republicans don't want a lot of government involvement in their everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
So why are we trying to edge them into medicine? I literally don't understand.
Well, and
philosophically, Trump, how that makes
Trump's
sort of
trying
sense
to pass
now.
A bill where it's easier for employers to deny birth control in women's insurance rights. So
yeah.
You don't want them to have their birth control covered by insurance. You don't want them to have an abortion, even in the cases of rape, incest, or danger to their own lives. Mm-hmm. So you just consider women to be a vessel in which a potential offspring to a man can be created. Like, it's
well,
so
and
gross.
Sort of realize they're okay with the government overreaching as long as they're doing it in the name of their Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you don't want to help them. You want to cut welfare and all that stuff that they might need if they have a couple kids.
Right.
That they didn't even want. They wanted to, you know. Mm-hmm. Take birth control or whatever the case may be, but then you're not going to help them when they have these kids. So,
right.
Yeah.
And how can you in one sentence say that you're pro-life, but then you're promoting the death penalty for women who seek an abortion? Mm-hmm. That's why I hate the term pro-life. You're just pro-birth.
Yeah.
That's all it is. You're fucking pro-birth
well, no,
and
you're
it's
anti-abortion.
Gross.
Abortion.
Yeah.
I don't even think
but
it's.
That's what it really is because here's the thing. People who. There's that sort of misnomer, too, that people who are pro-choice are pro-abortion, which is not the case. Like, mm-hmm. if you want to make your decisions based on your moral compass and your religion and stuff, like, go for it. If you really in your heart believe that having an abortion is against your religion, don't have one.
Right.
I can support that at 100%. But right. that's a really difficult decision for other people to make, and regardless of what you believe, your religious opinion has absolutely nothing to do with the law, and it doesn't have to dictate how anybody else chooses to make their own decisions.
Well,
it just doesn't.
They're not even taking into account wanted pregnancies that die
right.
in uterus and in utero, and then now you're forcing the woman to carry that dead fetus to term, give birth to it, because it doesn't align with your philosophical approach to life. That's mm-hmm. one, sadistic.
Yeah.
Two, cruel. And three, fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, it's
and
not up to you.
Unconstitutional.
Yeah, and it's unconstitutional.
And it's unconstitutional.
Yeah. So, I assume that this isn't going to go through. I mean, what they're trying to do to circumvent Roe versus Wade is they're trying to make it illegal in Ohio then to have an abortion after 6 weeks. How many women do you know that
they're pregnant
before 6 weeks?
Yeah, right?
That's disgusting.
The whole thing. They're not pro birth either. They just want to control women. And hey, pro birth females out there, if you support this, if you get behind this, something in you is fucking broken. Like,
yeah.
it's just broken. I understand being pro-life, and I understand you not being able to comprehend a situation where you would ever have an abortion. I get it. Your personal experiences in life have limited your scope.
You get to make that decision for yourself.
Have limited your mm-hmm. scope to only seeing things through the lenses that you have. But you do not get to make that decision for anybody else. Like, you just don't. You can't scream that you don't want any fucking laws on guns that can go into my son's school and kill him, but then demand a woman that you don't know in an area that you've never even fucking heard of has to give birth to something that you don't understand. Like, you don't get to have it both ways.
No.
This pisses me off so much. And I'm a fucking lesbian. I will never get pregnant on accident. Like, that fundamentally will not happen to me. So this, of all the people, this has nothing to do with me. Like, but the fact that you're trying to control other people in this way is disgusting. It's
yeah.
gross. You need to check yourself, Piper.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Piper has a lot of thoughts and feelings on this guy.
All right.
Wait a sec. She doesn't even have a uterus anymore.
and she's mad.
Yeah. Don't be a dick.
So Trump insulted Admiral McRaven.
Jesus. Who is a draft dodger? It's real fucking ballsy.
Well, this is the guy that ordered the shot fired, killing of bin Laden. He worked for both Bush and Obama. He stated after Trump attacked him, and this is what Trump actually said in an interview with Fox News, no less. Mm-hmm. He said, Bill McRaven retired, or Chris Wallace started, Bill McRaven, retired admiral, Navy SEAL, 37 years, former head of U.S. Special Operations. Trump interrupts and says, Hillary Clinton fan. Wallace said, Special Operations. Trump interrupted him again and said, excuse me, Hillary Clinton fan. Wallace said, who led the operations, commanded the operations that took down Saddam Hussein and killed Osama bin Laden, says that your sentiment is the greatest threat to democracy in his lifetime. And he's referring to him saying that his attacks on the press is the greatest threat to democracy. And Trump came back and said, okay, he's a Hillary Clinton backer and an Obama backer. And frankly, wouldn't it have been nice if we got Osama bin Laden a lot sooner than that? Wouldn't it have been nice, you know, living, think of this, living in Pakistan, beautifully in Pakistan. So McRaven came back and said, I did not back Hillary Clinton or anyone else. He said, I am a fan of President Obama and George W. Bush, both of whom I worked for. I admire all presidents, regardless of their political party, who uphold the dignity of the office and who use that office to bring the nation together in challenging times. I stand by my comment that the president's attack on the media is the greatest threat to our democracy in my lifetime. He said, when you undermine the people's right to a free press and freedom of speech and expression, then you threaten the Constitution and all for which it stands.
Mic drop.
Well, and now the GOP, the party of pro troops, pro veterans, is jumping on McRaven.
Yeah.
Saying how unpatriotic he is.
This guy's a fucking hero.
Right.
He's a decorated.
And they interviewed some of the Navy SEALs that served with him, and they said, he's not partisan. This isn't a partisan thing. This is how he feels.
The military is not partisan. It drives me absolutely fucking crazy.
Well, individuals in the military can be partisan.
But when you serve in those high level positions, like judgeships, they're supposed to be nonpartisan.
Well,
they're supposed to be, is what I said.
So what do we think about this? I'll ask my fellow veteran here, Stacy, before I go on my diatribe about it.
I love what he said. Like, love it. Mic drop, boom, in your face, fuck you. Like, how childish is Trump? Every time I'm like, no, keep going, no, shut up. Like, and I read the tweets and I read his responses, like, we should rake the forest. And I'm just like, no, come on. Like, and I just keep reading going, I feel like it's a
bad dream,
an immature 13-year-old boy writing it. And I feel like that's what it was with this conversation. Like, Hillary supporter, man. Like, are you kidding me? I love his response. It was perfect.
I agree. I think it was perfectly put. And I had posted on Twitter that, you know, the GOP, supposedly the party that supports veterans and troops, now attacks McRaven. I said, they only stand with veterans and troops who support Trump's agenda. It's good to know. And I had this guy jump on my ass about it. And he was like, well, they died for your right to say that. So the GOP has the ability to say that too. And I said, okay, well, I served, so I can say whatever the fuck I want too. Yeah. And again, it's the whole, well, you're a bad veteran. And I'm like, you just proved my point.
Right.
That if you're saying the GOP can, we have to get to the point where freedom of speech does not absolve you from consequence. Freedom of speech says that the government cannot jail you for saying something against the government. You can say, I don't like President Trump. You can't say I'm going to kill him at such and such a time at such and such a place. You're going to go to jail. You can say I don't like black people. You can't threaten one of their lives. Like, it does not absolve. You're still a dick. Right, like, you're still a dick.
Stop people from having an opinion and responding to you. So you can say I don't like black people, and it doesn't stop people from saying you're fucking racist.
Right. Your freedom of speech has not been infringed on because someone called you a dick for being a racist asshole.
Right. Yeah.
And you can still get fired from your job from being a racist asshole.
Yeah.
Like, these people just continue to prove my point. That you say you support troops and veterans, as long as they're the kind of troops and veterans that you like. It's like the same GOP that wants to spend $26 billion on building a wall, but then complains that veterans don't have enough resources when they get out. Like, You don't get to have it both ways. You just don't. You have to pick one. You have to. And attacking a man, not only is he a Navy SEAL, not only did he serve for 37 years, not only did he help take down Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden, the man has leukemia. Like, he has fucking cancer. So just throttle back, Trump. Like, the man, I can't.
Did you think that would stop him? Look at this shit he said about John McCain. While he was on his literal deathbed.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So does that, I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised at Trump. I'm disappointed in the GOP. And I'm disappointing in the GOP supporters.
Yeah.
That's what I'm disappointed in. Like, Trump is whatever.
The ones who don't have enough balls to stand up and say, that's not okay.
Well, Fox News did. Shockingly, well, I shouldn't say Fox News. Chris Wallace from Fox News said it. Him and Sam Shepard seem to be the only ones that have the fucking balls to call the president out on literally fucking anything. I would be interested to hear, though, from Stacey, have your super right-wing friends weighed in on this on Facebook, because I realize that I have hidden most of mine, so I don't see it in my news feed anymore.
I have not seen a single thing about the emails. This, or I've only seen funny memes from the left side about raking the forest.
Oh my god, so funny. totally worth it.
Republican friends and family have not said anything in the last like 3 days about anything political. It's radio silence.
That's interesting, right?
I know it is. It's very interesting thing.
I just went and checked a couple of mine who I have also hid, and it's been pretty quiet since the midterms.
It's weird, crickets. Like, it doesn't.
Yeah. No caravan. No.
Yeah.
Nothing.
What happened? Why are we removing the troops from the border with the caravan so close? Like, I don't understand it. What, they're gonna get in. Our entire way of life is being threatened.
Trump had like what 19 tweets about the caravan within like 4 days leading up to the election, and he's had
none.
I think maybe one since the election. Like, oh, they're getting closer. What's going on?
What are we gonna do?
We need an update. Build the wall faster. It's so fucking stupid. It's so stupid.
I'm just happy that Admiral McRaven was so well spoken and so articulate and fought back with actual intellectual words, and was just kind of like, no, I've worked for, this is what people don't understand. People who work for the government, especially like admirals and career military, career, you know, Department of Defense, FBI, like, they've worked under every political affiliation that you can imagine. Far left, moderate, right, far right. Like, that doesn't matter to them. They're just there to do their fucking jobs and do it the best they can.
And since when did supporting your opponent become like a literal crime? You know what I mean?
Right?
Like, he's a Hillary supporter. Who gives a shit? What if he was? Since when is that a bad thing? I know a lot of people who support people that I don't necessarily align myself with. And I'm not like, well, I'm not, you're a Hillary supporter. Like, I mean, whatever, but you're a Trump supporter, although.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work anymore. That comparison doesn't work anymore.
World. What it's so different now. I can't keep up. But do you know what I mean? There's not like where I'm like, oh, well, you didn't vote for Gavin Newsom. Like, ugh,
well, and how would that have played if an admiral in the United States Navy, when Obama gave the order to go ahead and get Osama bin Laden, had said, no, because you know what? I don't like you. So I'm not going to take an order from you. Well, yeah. I'm just saying, like, I'm not going to take an order from you. That's not how it fucking works in the military. Right. Exactly. People who think that don't fundamentally understand the military. And I welcome you. Go to boot camp. See how that works for you. Say no once. Come back. Tell us how it went. We'd be happy to hear about it.
Yeah. Good luck with that. I will say just the part, like, Chris Wallace is, like, not giving into Trump's like petulance when he kept saying he's a Hillary supporter. He's a Hillary supporter. When he just stopped and was like, he's a Navy SEAL. He just was like, so done with his shit. I did kind of enjoy that.
Right. It's like it erases everything. His 37 years of military service. And especially when he said
his uniform doesn't have any like decorations on it anymore. It's just all the medals are just pictures of Hillary.
Well,
and everything are just,
if Admiral McRaven Hillary says I didn't back Hillary Clinton, I believe him.
Right.
Like, he wasn't on the stump for her. I'd never even heard of him before today. Like, it wasn't like he was out campaigning for her. Right. Like, yeah, like Michael Flynn was for you, dotard. Yeah. Like, calm down. All right. Anyway, let's move on to something much more depressing. Thanksgiving.
Just can't let me have my holiday, huh? It's one day.
All right, go tell us how wonderful Thanksgiving is.
Okay, I'm just saying, like, we all get together, all my family and my brother comes, and we play Bond, like N64 Bond.
Okay, that's cool. I could get behind that. Do.
Split screen, four screens. They play for hours
with, like, the worst graphics ever. Yeah.
Terrible. And we just stuff ourselves silly, and I love green bean casserole, and I mix it with my mashed potatoes and my stuffing. And
so you're the one person left who likes green bean casserole. I've never met anyone. Yes.
I won't even make it like during the rest of the year, because I'm like, no, it's a Thanksgiving thing.
Do you make it with the full-on like cream of mushroom soup and stuff?
Yes, and the French fried onions on top.
Mm-hmm. I like green beans and I like French fried onions, and that whole group, that cream of mushroom, just
I just don't
turns me way off.
Like some terrible thing that I don't see it like you guys see it. Like, if for us, it's my whole family gets together. We play Bond. My mom and I play Scrabble because the boys are doing something weird, shooting squirrels in the backyard. And then we all eat together. And then we have a notebook that we write down. Everybody goes around the room and says what they're thankful for. We write it down and we laugh about like whatever it was 3 years ago that we were thankful for. And it's just like a family thing. That's why I like Thanksgiving. Don't take that away from me.
I like the gathering. I like the being grateful and thankful. I like that. I like my grandma's cooking. I like all of those things. I like football. I like all of the Thanksgiving episodes of Friends.
See?
I mean, I like that. I think the sort of like bloody struggle that decimated an entire population, it's weird that we celebrate that.
I don't feel like we do anymore. I feel like it's gotten so watered down. That's not what it's about. If you ask my kids, like,
we've gentrified
what's Thanksgiving about, they'll be like, oh, you know, like if you ask what the story is, they know. But at the same time, it's more about getting together as a family, and they've made it a Hallmark holiday.
Here's what I can get behind. I can get behind family time and having good dinner and like watching football and Friends episodes. I can get behind all that. Playing games, drinking wine, like having a good time. I personally think that we are doing a disservice by not saying, here's what actually happened, but we don't treat it like that anymore. But we should still acknowledge what we did to the indigenous people that lived here, and we turned it into a fucking holiday because we're a bunch of, we're descended from a bunch of assholes. I personally am not. I was, my ancestors were not on the Mayflower. Mine came over from Ireland because they stole a horse. Mine are fucking criminals. Like, I don't, I don't have any. But your family, on the other hand, has been around since like the Revolutionary War on this continent. So your family's more culpable than mine. I just think, I also think there's a lot of fucking pressure on families around holidays to like, you just have different experiences than I do.
My lenses are different colors than yours. And do you remember on this topic when you and I had to go to un-Thanksgiving on Alcatraz?
I loved it.
At 4 a.m. to celebrate, like,
that's what a good friend I am, people. I got up and for
Thanksgiving, it was a whole thing.
Stacy had to do a project for school where we went on Thanksgiving morning. We went to Alcatraz at 4 a.m. because the Native Americans hold like a ceremony celebrating, like, they did a bunch of their cultural dances, and it was really, really cool. First of all, being on Alcatraz at sunrise is cool anyway, because it gives you a totally different perspective of the bay. Mm-hmm. Like, you would think they'd be really angry out there. They weren't. They were celebrating also, but they were celebrating their culture, which...
Right. We propagate for Thanksgiving.
I think that maybe if that was intertwined more into Thanksgiving, I could get behind it a little. I get just really angry at how we've changed all these holidays around and no one wants to tell kids the truth.
We completely changed the narrative.
Yes.
The Pilgrims and the Native Americans all sat down at a table and had dinner together.
Never mind, we were raping and pillaging their women and children.
Yeah. We maybe sat down and ate their food.
Or them. We don't know.
Or them. Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny because it sounds like it was like 15 years ago. Like, Stacy was in school and we had to do this project. It was literally like 5 years ago. We took my oldest daughter.
It was fun.
She had,
It was fun.
It was fun. It was educational and she got a kick out of it. She got to go sit on a ferry, a freezing cold ferry out to Alcatraz at 4 a.m. But having said that, I feel like my kids are the type of girls that are going to be anti-Thanksgiving for the same reasons you guys are. They're going to dig deep into it and be like, this is wrong, because those are the type of people they are. And I just want to...
Why we like them.
I know. And I just want to savor the few years that we have left where we're all just playing Bond and eating turkey before they go, do you even know, Mom, why we're celebrating this?
So I heard the best thing.
Do all those things, but you still acknowledge.
I heard the best thing. We had Pantsuit Politics podcast out here in Gettysburg this last weekend as a special event for my rec park. And a woman actually asked the two hosts, Beth and Sarah, because of, you know, the actual history of Thanksgiving, like, how do you talk to your children about that? How do you reconcile celebrating an American holiday with what we've done in our past? And they actually had the best answer I've heard, because, and it actually changed my mind a little bit about Thanksgiving, because I feel, because of our privilege of being Caucasian and stuff, that we have a debt to certain people in this country that will never be repaid. So I'm constantly feeling like, no, we have to acknowledge these things. Mm-hmm. And they said, it was the best answer I've heard, was they've been very honest with their children about the history of America, and that it doesn't end with the Native Americans. We have black spots on what we have done in this country to certain groups of people, and they are horrendous. And we shouldn't forget those. And we should acknowledge the pain and suffering that we have caused. However, our family chooses to celebrate this day as a remembrance of the connection we have to our family members, that we're grateful that we have all of these things that we can celebrate. They don't treat it as like, oh, America and the Native Americans sat down. They treat it as, this is our family being thankful for what we actually have. Right. And we are still going, they still pick an organization that they go and volunteer at and help at, and to give back to the community because of everything they've received. You have to give back because that is the circle of karma and life. And, but acknowledging
100% what I'm saying,
but acknowledging that, right. But acknowledging that this is actually what happened. I think we gloss over it too much.
Yes.
we have to stop teaching kids in school. The Pilgrims and the Indians sat yeah. down and shook hands and we all came together, because that's not what happened. If you want to tell them the real story and say, but this is what it means to us now, totally different than giving them the Hallmark cartoon Disney version of, and I'm not saying you don't have to tell them what we actually did, but say we were horrible to these people. We were horrible, and we have to atone for that. And because of that, you're going to go, you know, volunteer at a hospital for 8 hours over your Thanksgiving break so that, you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But that was the best, because you can embrace both. You can say, yes, we have fucked up. We have to take responsibility for that. But we can also be thankful for our family and our friends. Right. And getting to put up the Christmas tree that weekend, like whatever it is.
Yeah.
You can do both. So I have changed my opinion about it.
I think that's exactly sort of where I am.
Don't get me started on Christmas, though. It's a pagan holiday. Don't tell me.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I like Christmas, but I'm so tired of hearing, put the Christ back in Christmas. He was never fucking in it. He was born in the summer. He was born in the goddamn summer.
Right.
I'm going to ask you when Lincoln is like, 7, 8 like how you feel about the holidays then, and I feel like it might be a little bit different.
You think I'm not gonna tell Lincoln the real history of Thanksgiving?
No, but well, when
I'm right there with you, too, because you are you gonna because... go with the like Jesus Christmas, or are you going with Santa Christmas? Because no, where do those two stories intersect?
Hold on, I want to hear Stacey.
When Lincoln is 7, 8, 9 you live in California. And your kid is going to school and having active shooter drills. And, you know, one kid's getting beat up on the playground. Maybe he's getting bullied for having two moms. Who knows what the situation is? And you just want your Christmas break to be super fun and Santa Claus and reindeer. And you're watching that stupid Christmas with the Cranks movie on repeat. Let them have that and for don't sure. make it about anything else. That's until okay. they're maybe in their teens, 20s, when they want to be like, oh, wait, okay, let's like focus on what the holidays are really about. When they're kids and they come home with ridiculous amounts of construction paper crafts and turkey freaking headdress outfits and whatever else, like, let it go, let it like be, because they've got so much other stress that it's not a hill I'm going to die on. Sorry, holidays are the shit when you have little kids.
I don't actually disagree with you. Like we are going to celebrate Santa Claus because I think Santa Claus embodies like goodness and happiness and joy. Yes. Like I can get behind those. I can get behind that. I can get the behind Santa Claus, and the reindeer, the magic of Christmas. I can get behind all of that, especially for a kid. They have to have those childhood memories. Yes. I 100% agree. I'm not going to refrain though from telling him like, gee, this is a pagan holiday that when he's old enough to actually comprehend like the whole magnitude that is Christmas, I'm going to be like, look, we celebrate this one because it's a tradition. We're celebrating several things for several different cultures, winter solstice for many people, the beginning of a new year. Like this is a time for celebration and holiday and being with your family. It was not the birth of Christ. It just wasn't.
Right.
It just wasn't.
Believe in him. It's just literally not when it happened.
But Santa, for sure. I'm all about Santa.
Santa's a good guy.
And I can get behind your version of Thanksgiving also.
Yeah.
As long as we pay some type of tribute to what we also did.
To all the people we killed.
And raped.
Pillaged.
I'll let them figure that out when they're older.
Oh, I'm not going to tell 4-year-old Lincoln, you know, we raped.
Get him off here right now.
I'm just going to tell him we were not, our history is filled with black spots. We enslaved people.
But I think that's kind of your responsibility too, is that it as a parent is when they're going through school and going through history classes too, that when they, you know, there's a lot of stuff we omit. And then just flat out change. And that's one of them. And that's not, I don't think it's ruining anything to tell them like.
I have a whole deck.
That's not exactly how it happened.
I have a whole deck of playing cards, an entire deck. I actually have 3 with historical black figures in American history that have been omitted from history books. And as soon as he's old enough to comprehend what I'm saying to him, I'm going to start reading him from those too, because he's not going to hear them in class. Same with women, same with LGBT people. Like, there's a lot of stuff that we're not taught in school. Well,
and that's the thing. I think I have a fundamental issue if my kid comes home and they're like, guess what we learned in school today? And blah, 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 blah. And it's all fucking wrong. And I'd be like,
I think it's also, hey. Well, I think it also comes down to also like showing him. And you're right, I'm not at that point with him yet. And I may have a completely different viewpoint when he's old enough to comprehend all of this. I may come back and be like, nah, he's too young. I can't do it. Like, I don't want to kill this for him. Like, we're just going to do it how the school is doing it. I may say that. But I have a real issue with the whole, people aren't 100% good or 100% evil.
Yeah.
So holding like Thomas Jefferson and George Washington and all these people up on these pedestals, although they did amazing things and they created this country, it's still important to note they owned slaves. Like, yeah, they did things that are no longer acceptable. And I think by showing that your heroes are fallible also, I don't know. I think it creates a sense of like, okay, you can still make mistakes and still do these. It doesn't define you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think too, if we just taught what happened instead of like sugarcoating everything and then just flat out lying about how things worked, it'd make it a whole lot easier. You wouldn't have to break it to them, you know?
Well, no, I'm all about Santa. I'm going to lie about Santa as long as I can, because I think it's neat.
That's different. That's different. But I'm talking about like, if they didn't teach this fallacy about Thanksgiving in schools, it wouldn't be this like, okay, here's what really happened. You know, if they were just like, okay, what happened when we settled in this country was we did this and it was not right, but it is what we did. And there you go.
But your Thanksgiving sounds fun.
I like it. Everything except for the casserole. You find me a green bean casserole without that gross soup, and I'm in.
What else would you put it in?
I don't know. Can it just be, like, butter?
Otherwise, you just have green beans.
And green beans and the crispy onions? That doesn't sound terrible to me. Just some, like, garlic, some parmesan.
What if you just butter, put it in cheese? Like, just cheese.
Yeah.
Like, not macaroni and cheese. It's green bean and cheese.
Green bean and cheese. So healthy.
And some mashed potatoes. Oh,
Velveeta. So much health.
All right.
With my green bean casserole.
What's
just like Alfredo sauce. Green beans.
Oh yeah, Alfredo sauce would be good.
Y'all are nasty. Come on.
No. Hear me out. Due to that gross soup. Stop
it. What's everyone obsessed with this week?
Thanksgiving. Bitches.
So funny.
Hey, I get it. You have like a few years left with your girls before they move out, and then you're gonna have to start sharing them with like significant others' parents, and like you're on borrowed time, honey.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. I get it. She's gonna start calling me, being like, "Can I come to Thanksgiving with your tiny child?"
Right? No. Because I just want to see his construction.
I'm gonna send them all to you. Be careful what you're gonna get. A box of construction paper turkey hats. I'm gonna be like, they're going to Aunt Stacy. Make them not to her, because they're not going on the fridge. What about you, Stacy?
Well, I am officially off until Monday, so I'm so excited. I took a day off, which I like never freaking do. And so I'm going to spend some quality time with Miss Piper. We are going to do, okay, I feel like one of those parents who's like, we're just going to potty train them and take a couple days. We're taking the diapers off, and we're just going to, because she's having a hard time potty training. And she's just kind of a dick about it. I wish she'd listen to our podcast, the whole like, don't be a dick thing, because
she's real cute. Like,
if anybody has any helpful hints on like potty training this little beast, she's like pretty good, but she only wants to shit inside, like only inside upstairs. I'll take her out seriously like 5 times in a like 45 minute span, and then she'll still come directly inside and shit on the floor. So we're doing like intensive potty training the next few days, where like she can only be on a leash or in her crate until she goes to the bathroom, and then she can spend some time playing around and stuff afterwards. But then if it gets close to like time to go outside again, she's got to go back in her crate. And we go potty. If she doesn't go potty, she's on a leash, so she can't go pee somewhere. So We're doing it big.
Fun.
When are you going to talk to her about Thanksgiving?
I need to know. She already knows. I was going to say, I've already told Piper the truth about all of this. She's disgusted in our country. Look at this face. She is not happy.
I'm obsessed with two things. One, today is the 9th anniversary that my very best friend gave me Gizmo as a Christmas present. And he makes 9 look real fucking good, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
He is like the cutest, long-haired, applehead deer chihuahua. I don't even know what he is, yeah. But he's the only chihuahua I've ever met that I think is freaking adorable.
Same. How did you get him? Tell that story.
Okay, so my mom's ex, Steve, who actually used to work where I used to work and where you work now, he had 2 chihuahuas. One was named Pickles and one was named Margarita. And they had a litter of puppies. And I did not want a puppy at all. I just bought a house, like new carpet put in. I was like, no, I do not want a fucking dog.
Why? Potty training is so easy.
And he brought them in and I held Gizmo for the first time and he went on my neck. And I was like, I have to have this dog.
She calls me and says, you don't understand. I think I'm in love with this puppy, but I don't want a dog. And so I made the decision for her.
Yes. Because that's what good best friends do. And she showed up and she's like, I'm giving you your present early. And I was like, no, don't do that. Like, we have our whole, like, we normally exchange gifts on a certain day and whatever. Like, I like tradition. And, you know, she's like, no, I have to give you it today.
She can't live at my house.
And I was like, oh, okay. And so she came over and she gave me Gizmo. And it was just, so I have to say one of the reasons that I am so attached to Gizmo is my grandma, my grandma Wiedemeyer was like, she was in rehab at the time, not rehab, like drug rehab, but like physical rehab at the time. Like she was pretty sick. And every time she saw Gizmo, like it just totally like lit up her entire day. I snuck him into a rehab center for her to see him. And like, he's just the sweetest fucking chihuahua that has ever existed.
Yeah.
And he's real tolerant and he's just the best. He's
not yappy.
No, he's not. No.
He doesn't have bug eyes. He's not weird or shaky or no.
He is totally regal cool as fuck. Like, yes. He's the best. So today is the 9th anniversary of the day I got my very best present ever.
Okay. PSA, just for people listening, don't ever get somebody an animal. Don't take this as like that's a good idea. Not a good idea. I had a lot of long talks with Jax about the idea of the puppy beforehand and decided that she really needed him. It took a long ass time. I also knew Steve because I went to school with his daughter. And so I knew him before Donna met it. It was a whole thing. So I went to talk to him about it and if it was a good idea too. It was a whole thing. It wasn't a, you know, spur of the moment decision at all. Don't buy your girlfriend of 2 months a dog for Christmas.
Right. Okay, well, I was planning on getting him anyway. Steve just told me he wasn't available anymore. It's because Stacey had already talked to him. Like, and if I couldn't have Gizmo, if I couldn't have Gizmo, I didn't want any of the other ones. Right. I was like, well, then I'm not getting a dog. Like, that's
so sad.
Yeah, but I was like, well, whatever. Like, as long as he's going to a good home, you know, I wasn't attached to him yet. I was just if I'm going to have a dog, it's going to be this one.
Yeah.
So I was like, I would have gotten him. That's what I'm saying is the whole 2 month thing. Don't buy your girlfriend. Stacey has known me since I was a teenager.
Right.
It was fine. Yeah.
I decided, I think I'm going to do it. Like, I'm getting this dog. And I was like, okay. Let me call Steve first and lock that down. Yeah.
So still the best gift I ever got. He's still my favorite furry boy. He was my favorite boy until Lincoln, but now he's my favorite furry boy. So that's
until Lincoln gets furry and then you'll have to.
Oh.
Four-legged.
Oh. But the other thing I'm obsessed with this week is my son has his first cold and it's heartbreaking. Like it's heartbreaking. The coughing and the like
pictures.
I've never wanted to take someone's like pain away as much as you want to from like a 5 month old. He's so helpless and in so much pain. Like, he doesn't have a fever or anything, but he's coughing really bad. Like, whenever he lays down, he's just so tired all the time, and you just want to make it stop for them. Yeah. So I've never, this is a first for me, because I'm always kind of like, colds are good for you. It builds immunity. Like, it's something you have to go through, like, blah, 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 until it happens to your 5 month old. And then you're like, oh my God, I will do anything. I will take the worst flu of my life so that you don't have to cough anymore. And it's just, it's terrible. So.
Is he just so confused by it too?
He's actually taking it in pretty good stride. Like, he's still in a really good mood. Yeah, he's taking it way better than me and Lex. He's like still in a good mood until he like coughs, and then his eyes get real red. And, you know, he's only 5 months old, so he doesn't know how to like fake any of it or like milk it, I guess, is the. Right. So it's all, you know, just it's real genuine. And it's just, I mean, I know kids in daycare normally gets like between eight and 10 colds a year. So we're really lucky that this is his first one, because he's been
eight to 10 a year. Holy yeah.
This is his first one because he's been in daycare since he was 8 weeks old, and he's 5 months now. So like, we're lucky. And like I said, he doesn't have a fever. He's okay. He's eating, like, everything else is normal. His cough is just so heartbreaking. Like, it's so, it sounds like he's swallowing fluid all the time. Like, it's just, it makes me sad. I just want it to go away.
That's terrible.
Yeah. So how's everyone's wine?
Great. Rosé.
It's good stuff, man. I support mine too. I'm behind it. Okay, well, hey everybody, have a fantastic Thanksgiving, however you celebrate it. Enjoy your family. Yeah. Enjoy your green bean casserole or your mashed potatoes or your ham or whatever it is you do.
The green bean Alfredo.
Enjoy your time off work. And if you have to work, I'm sorry, but thank you for doing whatever important job that you have to do. And we will be back next week, where we have Dee Jackson on, and we're going to talk to her about her upcoming novel and what it's like to be in journalism in the age of Trump. So until next week, happy Thanksgiving. Bye.
Bye. Bye.